One of the things that's been part of my life over these last few years is the Malvern Festival of Ideas. It's a talking festival run by a Unitarian, Andrew Webb, and I've volunteered there for some time, both looking after in the background and hosting some of the speakers. And the Friday night speaker this year was Michael Rosen, and whose latest book is The Book of Days. And it's a really hopeful book. It's talking about hope and happiness. So a short piece from that. I'm going to make a big plane. We can't do anything about the things that bring us down if we are oppressed and depressed by them. We have to have hope. We need to be hopeful creatures in order to live. No matter how much events seem to point towards despair, telling us to be pessimistic, I think we have to find strategies and techniques to be hopeful. As someone once put it in a book, we can't get over it, we can't go under it, we've got to go through it. I can't make you feel hopeful, and I can't guarantee you'll be happy. But what I can do, and it's what I've tried to do, is tell some stories and give you some thoughts, which I hope in themselves will give you a moment of cheer. But more than that, as you will have guessed by now, I think that having moments of cheer is one of the ways we can hope. Happiness and hope are linked. Happiness and hope are linked. Well, maybe so. But what is a celebration? I did wonder. I had to fly over from Manchester yesterday for this weekend. And so arriving at Manchester Airport at 7 o'clock in the morning to see all the bars full and everybody getting away on their escape and celebration, which wasn't improved much when I got onto the Ryanair flight by the people who were on the flight. I kind of wondered what is that celebration? You know, what does it mean? How does it hold us? Particularly knowing I was coming to the celebration that we held here yesterday afternoon. So what that told me, you know, a celebration isn't an escape. It's a participation. It must be a participation. In order to participate, even in the hardest times, we have to find a method to achieve that. And that isn't easy. Many will have known Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, a very difficult book, but one that reminds us that despite the horrors of Auschwitz, there were people there who were able to attach meaning to their moments, no matter how few those moments may prove to be. And one of my favourite authors, Massimo Pigliucci, not doing well on pronunciation today, in his book, How to Be a Stoic, talks about a person called James Stockwell, who was in a Vietnamese prison in isolation for 4.5 years, and then came out and lived a stoic life. And he explained, did James Stockwell, that the ones who were in prison who were optimistically saying, oh, the war's going to be over by December, we'll be home for Christmas, then became, well, it'll be over by Easter, we'll be home for Easter, and then it got to the next Christmas, and all of those who were optimistically believing it was going to change all fell by the wayside in one form or another. Whereas James practiced his stoic belief, I'm not suggesting that we should all do this, but accepting these moments as they were at that time. It's all a bit challenging, that, isn't it? It's all a bit challenging, having to make that connection. In another part of Michael Rosen's book, he has this lovely couple of pages where he relates a discussion with his daughter, who came back from university, to proudly pronounce that her father was an optimistic nihilist, which I think is I think that's quite a good way to be honest. And they had this debate and explanation, well, you're a nihilist, Dad, because you don't believe in God or a power outside yourself, but somehow you still seem to be optimistic about life and the fact that there is goodness and that we should try and do our best. So he said, perhaps an optimistic nihilist is perhaps not a bad description of himself. Are any optimistic nihilists out here? Before I trained for ministry, I would often include in a service a song called When I'm Gone, and I've now forgotten who it's by because I've not written it in here. Phil Oakes, the American protest and folk singer. And it's a song which says, at some point, I'm not going to be here, and there's all this stuff to do. It's a lovely song, but a challenging song. And so one particular time, I'd been to Gattaca Chapel, which is in Liverpool, a number of times. And for a reason best known to myself, I decided to play this at the end. I normally played it as a reflection and then picked up the reflection. And so we did this, and I thought, I hope that's okay, because it's quite a difficult song. And as I went, there's the entrance of the church, obviously saying cheerio to everybody after the service. This lovely elderly lady who was struggling to move, who I'd seen several times at the services, slowly makes her way over towards me, and very slowly. And I'd not been preaching that long at the time, and I was kind of thinking, okay. And she just walked over to me and went, that song, you're bloody right. And she walked off. I've got things to do. I don't know whether that was optimistic or hopeful, but there was a little celebration that came into my heart at that time.